Senator John Marty, Senate District 66, is kind enough to join us today as Democrat of the Day. I specifically wanted to get the senator on with us today because his district does include the state fairgrounds. And over the weekend, if you were like myself, more than one time I went, but it's for the best that we've had to postpone it for this year. Senator, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
My pleasure being with you.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say state fair. Yeah, it's a shame because the year when we most need the fair, it had to be canceled like everything else. But I guess it'll make us yearn for it more in future years.
Yeah, that's for sure. It definitely is a good reminder of how nice it is, unfortunately, to have to learn the lesson this way. I wanted to talk as well with you. Let's start with the idea of the economic impact to your district. Because I don't know how the finances work there, but I got to believe this was just financially, and the mental psyche of Minnesotans aside, but financially, this was probably a pretty big hit for your district, correct?
Right. Well, I don't know for the district itself, but for the State Fair Society, which has not received any government funding, it's been self-supporting for the last 50 or 60, 70 years. And so they really need the loss of all the revenue. You figure out all the ticket prices, everything else, just to maintain the property is so expensive. But they're trying to manage as every business, every nonprofit, every family is trying to do in the COVID crisis. And they actually have the one thing they're going with this year is the three different weekends they're having a food parade where you can buy tickets and drive your car in a parade. The tickets all sold out right away, but could dry and buy all kinds of fair goodies along the way, so which is great. I mean, you love fair food. Everybody eats more of it than they should probably each year, but yeah, that's part of it, and probably gets you thinking about what you're missing. But I think so much of what the fair is, people they're going to have to live without, because a lot of it's being around all the other people and people watching and seeing them interact with the animals and the talent shows and arts and crafts and the rides and everything else. And so they're trying to do a few little things like that to help raise money to make up for it, but it's not just the individual vendors and the local businesses. It certainly does have an impact.
Well, and I should mention as well, not only did they do the food weekend, but the fine arts building is actually open up for most of the fairground days. You have to have a ticket. You have to make a reservation. And it does cost, I think it's $10 per ticket, but they have the full fine arts exhibit available for people there. And I'm presuming good parking available as well for that. So there are some little things going in there, but you're exactly right. It's the feeling of going up to Machinery Hill, going by the grandstand, out on the Midway. I mean, those are the feelings. Those are iconic summer feelings, and especially the iconic end of summer feelings that so many people are missing, but for a legitimate reason.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's why I guess everybody is sacrificing because of COVID, some sacrificing much, much more than others. And in many ways, the fair is typical of it. We really hate to see it hurt, but I mean, there's so many other more awful impacts of the crisis, not only the death and health impacts, but also the families who are struggling with homelessness and the healthcare crisis, everything of which has been made worse by this horrific crisis.
Talk a little bit from your perspective. I mean, you're a long-term senator, very respected. How do you feel things have gone? I mean, because, you know, on one side, you have, I think Governor Walz has done a pretty good job of managing the situation, but at the same time, it still is a very serious disease, and as much as we can look at the one death that was reported today, there still was 600-plus new cases. You have the repercussions of what happened in Sturgis, South Dakota, what's happened in Effie with the rodeo up there. I mean, there is this impact. Overall, I think Minnesota's done well, but I'd like to get your impression of how you think things have gone so far.
I think, obviously, they haven't gone as well as they could have, and there's some no-win situations. I mean, what we're up against now, the governor's trying to instruct school districts and how to make the best choices locally in terms of whether to open up. Remote learning is far from ideal, and in-person learning can be extremely dangerous. So these are no-win situations. And I think it's gone. The governor has provided very steady, stable leadership in which some of the Republicans have been attacking him, saying some of the early numbers used were ridiculous. And well, those were the best numbers that the predictions from the scientific community, from what they knew of the disease and human behavior, was at that time. And some of them haven't turned out to be nearly as bad as people thought. Some turned out to be worse. And the governor has, through it all, has tried to say, hey, we're making our best guesses based on the science. And I really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I can actually understand when people say, hey, the governor shouldn't be doing this, the legislature should, and the Republicans have tried every month for the last several months to shut down his emergency powers. And, hey, I'd be okay with that if somebody is doing the action, but somebody has to make these decisions. Somebody has to weigh the evidence and figure out how we're going to plan for the hospitals. And if they don't want the governor to be doing it, then we ought to be doing it. And before they take away the governor's power, they ought to take the action to do it themselves. Mm-hmm. For instance, I understand why some of them said, oh, the governor shouldn't make a mandate for masks. Well, then somebody ought to be looking at it because we clearly need something. I think I was the only one to introduce legislation for a statewide mask requirement, and saying, you know, you don't have to take up my bill. Take up another bill on it. Introduce your own. Do what you want to say how we're going to deal with masks. A lot of the business community is saying, hey, if people don't mask up, we're going to be shut down again. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important. I think it's essential that we have the governor continuing to do his leadership. But if the Republicans are upset at it, they should be doing their own thing.
I want to bring up something that has happened with the Republicans. You've got a front row seat for this. We talked to Senator Kent about this as well. The Republicans' latest standard is to basically, I guess, sabotage the entire executive branch by throwing commissioners for individual departments out of office during a pandemic because they're trying to force his hand into relinquishing his executive power. Now, I think Governor Walz has done a good job. I do not trust Paul Gazelka. I saw what happened with the George Floyd unrest and his lack of leadership there. I don't think he has the best interest of the state of Minnesota in mind when it comes to a pandemic. So I'd rather have Governor Walz in charge. But because he's throwing a temper tantrum, the senators, the Republican senators, they threw out the commissioner of the Department of Labor and Industry, a woman, because they were mad at a man. And they basically have implied that this is going to be, they might start throwing out other people out of office if the governor doesn't give them what they want. Talk a little bit about the surprise in that, because it sounds like that came out of left field, as well as also the relationship in the Senate. I mean, have the Republicans completely destroyed any potential of working together at this point?
They're certainly not helping the ability to work together. And Senate DFL leader Susan Kent, who I think you said you talked to her.
Yes.
She was totally blindsided by it, as was the governor. They got a text message from Gazelka a few minutes before he brought up the confirmation. What they're basically doing is they've decided that they're going to use all of the governor's appointments, his commissioners, use them as hostages. They're supposed to be the state constitution has the Senate advise and consent on appointments, which means we're supposed to confirm or not confirm governor's appointments. Well, these appointments were all made, I mean, I think every one of them was made within a couple of months of Walz assuming office. That's 2 years ago almost. They were appointed then, and the Republicans sat on them. They only confirmed one or two out of 20-some, and they've only confirmed a handful. The rest they're keeping around as hostages. And so when they're mad at hostages, Walz, for some reason, they're going to take one of them down. And so Nancy Lepink, who's highly respected by both business and labor and has been very critical to the efforts to keep workplaces safe, which is so important during the COVID crisis, she was hired by Walz. She's a Minnesotan, but she hired by Walz. She moved back from Geneva, Switzerland, where she worked for the International Labor Organization, to take this job. That's a huge commitment to Minnesota to come back and do that. And they didn't have hearings on her back then. They didn't deal with her confirmation. And they just held it around. And now they just say, well, let's get rid of her. There's nobody, the business community, well, I mean, she's a regulator, and so businesses don't like being regulated. But I think business community wasn't calling for her ouster. They said she was fair and everything else. Well, doesn't matter what it does to her career. It doesn't matter what it does to the safety and health and well-being of working people. They're just using her as a hostage and kind of, hey, if you don't do what we want you to do, we're going to execute your hostages one at a time.
And that was, and that, by the way, I was going to mention that verbiage was used by Kurt Dowd, the House Minority Leader. He basically, this is a Republican calling this execution of hostages, not Senator Marty. I want to make sure we're clear on that. This is a Republican's own term.
I can believe Kurt would say that, and it's true. I mean, that's what they're doing. They're using it just to retaliate against the governor, just to take something away from him. And if it doesn't matter what it means for the people of Minnesota, it doesn't matter what it means for the individuals involved, it doesn't matter what it means for the smooth functioning of state agencies, we're going to take them out because we're unhappy with you. They threatened to do that with Steve Kelly, highly respected by both sides as Commissioner of Commerce. They're threatening to do it with the head of the Pollution Control Agency. And they have about 20 of them they could do this with. And so I don't think they'll do that many, because at a certain point it's going to be too obvious to the voters what's going on, and it'll backlash against them. But that's not the way what politics is about. It's supposed to be making people's lives better, not scoring political points.
Well, and I'd make an argument. I think the public is very aware of it. And like I said, they fired a woman because they were mad at a man. And that, at the end of the day, I mean, Karen Housley's, Senator Housley's argument was, well, she wanted to enforce fire code regulations. What is your argument? Okay, that's not an argument to get rid of the Department of Labor and Industry Commissioner. That is just basically, if you have a problem with that, you talk to the fire department, for goodness sakes.
I'm disappointed. It really is not good for governance. It's not good for the future of Minnesota. It's just petty politics, and there's nothing. They are in the majority right now, and I'm hoping that changes in November, but until that time, they have the power to do great damage, just like Trump right now trying to destroy the post office, which is in the U.S. Constitution. I mean, here this guy who says he cares about the Constitution and the nation's founders, he's destroying these institutions that were created and supported back then. Just in order to get political points or political leverage for something. And I think that's what's really tragic about the way the Republicans have been governing in recent years.
I want to drive people, Senator John Marty, Democrat of the day, Senate District 66, which does include the state fairgrounds. What is your webpage? If people want to help out, volunteer this election cycle, or donate, how do they do so?
It's johnmarty.org, johnmarty.org. And I really encourage people to be involved, whether it's text banks or phone banks or helping people put up signs, not just for me, but for all these candidates. We have so many brilliant candidates for state Senate and state House that I'm really excited about. If we take back the Minnesota Senate, which I'm very hopeful we are going to do, there are some gems of candidates around the state. I hope you're getting some of them on the air at times. They're great people.
Oh, no, we've had a few of them, and they're just fantastic. I really do have hope that we'll take back the Senate this election cycle and be able to fix a lot of the mistakes that the Republicans are making in the state. Senator John Marty, once again, it's johnmarty.org, johnmarty.org. I'll link to everything. I'll also spotlight the interview. Senator, as well, you're always welcome on my show. Thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Matt. Thanks for all the good work you do. Take care.
Thank you, sir. Senator John Marty, kind enough to join us as Democrat of the Day. Let's take our final break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.